Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Oh yes, here we go once again on a Wednesday night / Thursday morning for you. It is the Sports Buffoons. We got our boys Jason and Tanner along with me, and this is Mike Settle. What is up, my guys?
What's going on?
What's up, guys?
We have a lot to get to today. Lots of hot topics with the NBA Finals coming up. Lots of NFL discussion as well. And I do want to give a quick shout-out to our 100th follower on Twitter, John Smarlos. Follow him at jsmarlos. And his handle on here says, "All you need is some faith and integrity, Mahomes, formerly Bob Fesco's burner." I bet he's probably a little bit better than Bob Fesco's real account, so got to give him some credit there for sure. So he's a good follow. Go and check him out. We are up to like 127, 128 followers now.
Yeah,
so
right around that when I checked last.
Yeah, so definitely making some big strides that way. I'm glad you guys are starting to notice us and follow along and starting to get a little more interactive with us as well. So I appreciate that a lot. So I know you guys are huge on the NBA, and that's the number one thing we're going to get to starting off today. We have some football talk later on in a little bit, but with the finals starting here on this Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, we have some things we got to go over a little bit. So as far as you guys are concerned, I want to say this real quick. This is LeBron's 10th NBA Finals game and the first for the Lakers since 2010. And the Heat are the lowest seeded team in the NBA Finals since the New York Knicks were the 8th seed in 1999. Do the Heat even have a chance? What do you guys think about this matchup?
Well, first of all, I would say when you're talking about seeding, especially in a COVID year, nobody really cares about the seeds.
What?
And the thing that I'm looking at is the defense. I always look at defense first. That's just how I like to talk about it. And when you look at the players on the Miami Heat, they've got Jimmy Butler, they have Bam Adebayo, and nobody ever talks about Goran Dragic. But all three of those guys are very good defenders. And so the Lakers they've got a lot of great defenders as well. But Dragic, I mean, not only does he play great defense, I mean, he's shooting like 45% from the field and 36% from the three-point line. And also when you talk about defense, you got to talk about Andre Iguodala because dare I say that he is the LeBron James stopper? No, I would never say that. But
I don't think anybody can.
He was very instrumental in 2015, and that's why he won the Finals MVP in 2015, because he slowed LeBron down. And that's really the main reason why that the Golden State Warriors won the Finals that year.
I like on your last podcast, you did bring up Andre Iguodala. So I was looking at just kind of past games through the last couple of series for the Heat. He didn't get into gameplay until towards the last two games, I believe. And the last game against the Celtics, he had actually had 28 minutes playing, which was probably the most I've seen from him, and he had 15 points. So that's a pretty good stopper coming in, like fresh legs almost for the Heat.
Yeah, it's not bad when you're saving a guy to the end of the year, and the only reason you're saving him is to guard LeBron James, and then he comes in basically his biggest game of the playoffs against the Celtics, and he shoots 100% from the field. That's why he's on the team, and you know Pat Riley runs the show in Miami, and that's the whole reason why he brought him in there. None of the other teams really even cared about Andre Iguodala. But I know that Pat Riley had a feeling that if he had a shot at playing against LeBron James in the finals, he was going to need a guy like Iguodala to at least try to slow LeBron down. Like we say, you're never going to stop him, but you need a guy that's going to know a little bit about LeBron's game.
You think you know me?
So going with LeBron, right? The Lakers. Yeah, sure. They got LeBron James. They're the favorite. But they need one guy to really step in and kind of help take a lot of pressure away, continue to take help pressure away. Anthony Davis has to be a big factor. Now, he's always scoring high in the 20s, upper 20s, lower 30s, almost every game. But what he's not doing is creating getting the boards. So last game against the Nuggets here, LeBron actually led the team in minutes, rebounds, and assists with 40 minutes played, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists, and as well as points. So you need AD in there to really take some pressure away from LeBron. LeBron doesn't have to do it all in a possible seven-game series with the Heat.
Well, AD has been the focal point, believe it or not, in the playoffs.
He has been, yes.
He's been shooting 57% from the field, 36% from the three-point line, which is impressive for a big man, and 9 points or 9 rebounds per game. And he's been scoring 29 points a game, which is actually more than LeBron James. And so LeBron James is doing what he does best. He is being a distributor. And it's not because he's getting old, guys. I know everybody likes to talk about, oh, he's washed up and all this and that. That has nothing to do with it. He is a smarter player now. And he knows that if he can just get the ball to AD and have some more assists. I mean, LeBron is averaging 9 assists in the playoffs and 10 rebounds. Like, he's actually averaging more rebounds per game than Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it's very true. Very
true. I mean, it's all about King James and AD when you talk about the Lakers. As far as a third guy, Kuzma hasn't really shown up yet in the playoffs.
Rondo's kind of fallen off.
Well, Rondo has had some impressive stat lines, and we've talked about that before. We talked about playoff Rondo, and he is still, after all this time, he is torching his regular season numbers. He is basically the highest, when we talk about defensive rating, he has the highest defensive rating on the Lakers among all the guys that are playing significant minutes. But he's also shooting 50% from the field in the playoffs, 45%. I mean, none of us think of Rajon Rondo as being this knockdown three-point shooter. He's shooting 45% from three. And in the regular season, he only shot 32%, and that's what we have. I mean, that's their third guy. And a lot of times we only talk about offense, but Rondo is going to bring it on both ends of the floor. So for me, Rondo is always going to be that X factor.
Yeah, so I actually went back and dug out a couple of regular season games that the Lakers and Heat got to play. So back in November, the matchup, Lakers won 95-80. Butler had 22 points. Dragic was actually coming off the bench, and he had 19 points. AD had 26, LeBron 25, and no other Laker had more than 9 points for that win. So that's something to think about. And then also in December, they played again, and it was 113-110, Lakers again. And that actually snapped Miami Heat's home winning streak at the time. AD had 33, LeBron had 28, Butler had 23. And a guy that I think really started coming along in the bubble, and especially in the playoffs, Bam Adebayo. He had 12 boards and 12 points. Now, he was really quiet in both of those matchups, but I feel like he didn't get his foot really in until closer to the playoffs range.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun. We like to talk about the regular season and try to see how those series played out and see if we can somehow translate that into the playoffs. But it never works out that way, and especially when you have a guy like Tyler Hero, who is now, he's not a starter, but he's always on that closing unit for the Miami Heat, and he's shooting 46% in the playoffs, 38% from three-point land. The guy's only 20 years old.
He had 35 minutes off the bench in the final game of the Celtics.
Yep, he always comes off the bench, but he is always part of that closing unit. So he is essentially a starter, however you want to look at it. And the guy shoots 90% from the free throw line. So yeah, the Lakers are probably going to want to try to foul this guy just because he has really stepped up his game here in the playoffs.
Yeah, so the only reason the Miami Heat would upset the Lakers is because of the depth they have, the way they're performing with that depth right now, and the way the starters are performing. That Jimmy Butler leadership attitude has transformed that whole entire team. And with Iguodala coming into the play now, into the mix, that could really actually step up the Heat's game. And you could see potentially, you know, maybe a 1-1, 2-2 series early on.
Yeah, I've always said it's going to go seven games. But the only way to stop the Lakers, and by the way, they're not going to do it. The Lakers are going to win this series. I don't care if it's a sweep or a seven-game series. The Lakers will win. You can take that to the bank.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
But the only reason the Heat will make this a longer series is through their defense. And so Dragic, Adebayo, Iguodala, those three guys actually have a better, slightly better defensive rating than the top three defenders on the Lakers, which would be LeBron, AD, and Danny Green. And so that's the only way they have a shot, guys, is to keep that point total low.
I agreed. What's your what's your final series number, would you say?
Oh, I think it's going
seven. Still Lakers seven?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why everybody is jumping on the bandwagon and say, oh, it's going to be a sweep or a gentleman sweep in five. I just don't see it. I mean, these guys have, the Heat, have three guys that can score the basketball. Four guys, really. You throw in Goran Dragic, well, and then you got a guy like...
Duncan Robinson's there, who's like a pure shooter.
And that's all he does is jack up threes. But nobody ever mentions Iguodala, right?
No, nobody.
Because he doesn't play. He doesn't care about the regular season.
He didn't ever get minutes until the end.
Right, until the end when he shoots 100% from the field. So, yeah, I mean, these guys have weapons, and everybody is just totally underestimating the Heat. But I do have a seven-game series. Like I said in my earlier podcast, I would not be shocked if the Heat pull this thing off, but... That's not going to be my prediction. I've got the Lakers in seven.
Right. Mike, do you have any prediction?
Prediction? Well, the game tips off here, the game one anyway, in about 5 minutes. So I think that the team that scores the most points is definitely going to win the game. And I do actually, if I'm being honest right here, I've never been a Lakers fan. So in this case, I'm just personally hoping for the Heat to pull off an upset, which is highly unlikely, probably not going to happen. But I do think the Lakers do end up winning this series in five games. I know Jimmy Butler has been a guy, a big talking point with you two lately, so I'm rooting for him to come out and be successful, but I got to go Lakers here for sure, and that's my thoughts for the series at least. But Jason, how long have you been an NBA fan for, about 30 years or so?
I can't count that high, I'm getting kind of old, but I think I was 12.
So, oh, okay, yeah, roughly, let's go with roughly 30 years then as an NBA fan, so you've seen a lot and experienced a lot. Now, I have a question to ask you guys, especially for you, Jason, but first I need to know, Tanner, what are you drinking over there?
I got some Old Forester whiskey for the first time in...
Oh, that's right.
How many days?
It's been about 24, 25
since
days.
Since the
6th? For you, so you are finally getting to have a sip of some nice, solid, ice-cold alcohol.
I miss me some whiskey.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
And Jason, you as well. I mean, you got something over there in your cup as well. We all got something here going on.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit of this Old Forester, but my main drink for the night is actually, you know, since we're watching the NBA Finals kick off, I went with the Unibrow. There's a company that makes one of my favorite beers, and the name of the company is Unibrow. So we're going to watch the Lakers tonight and Anthony Davis.
He's on the screen right now, actually.
Yeah, so you got to drink the Unibrow. Because he's coming mm-hmm. to play tonight.
Unibrow Le Fin du Monde, correct?
Le Fin du Monde, yes.
I'm over here going with a little Duponic Distortion IPA. It's a lower ABV IPA coming in at 5.9. I'll go to my second round here of the night. But my question I want to get to with you, Jason, you being such an NBA fan, you've got a lot of knowledge to talk about. Out of curiosity, if you had to say something right now for your Mount Rushmore of NBA all time, what is your list? Who's at on your mountainscape, I should say?
Yeah, so we'll start with the series that's going on right now, and we've talked about a lot of numbers as to why we think the Lakers are going to win this series, and it's always great to go over numbers. They tell you the big picture sometimes, but I can tell you right now the real reason why the Lakers are going to win this series, and that is because LeBron, he has to win this series, because if he does not win this series... When you talk about the Mount Rushmore and things like that, 4-6 looks a whole lot better on your resume than 3-7. 3-7 looks awful when you compare yourself to all of the all-time greats.
Yeah, so you, on your Mount Rushmore, the biggest thing I hear Now, outside of like Robert Horry and them, because they just got lucky, but I hear titles. I don't hear performances. I hear a little bit of performance, but I hear titles. Has to have the rings, right?
Well, I got a news flash for you, Tanner. The object is to win the game. We don't play for stats. You know, it's perfectly fine that Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double.
Yeah.
You know, Oscar Robertson did that once. Oscar Robertson had one ring with Kareem. And so, yeah, it's fun to talk about stats and everything else, but the object of the game is to win. And so if I'm sitting here looking at a guy like Jordan or Kareem or Kobe, even a guy like Larry Bird, who had a winning record in the finals, those guys are in a separate group from guys like Jerry West, who had a 1-8 record in the finals, LeBron James, 3-6. So the whole point is to win the game. Anybody can be big and strong and athletic and just show up to play the games, but that doesn't mean that you're one of the best players of all time. So, it doesn't mean that you're really good at your craft.
So hold on. Do we not take an account from like taking dirtbag teams to last place to a finals, at least, maybe a 6-game final?
You still lost. I mean, how good was still his lost. Competition all he of those years?
This guy should have been MVP on a losing team for that. He was better than any other player out there, but he didn't have the squad to be able to finish it out.
Well, he had a pretty good squad with Miami, and he had a .500 winning percentage in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but who did he lose to?
Does that spell greatness to you?
Who did he lose to?
Doesn't matter who he lost to.
I still think you got to play.
He had Ray Allen, Chris Bosh, and D-Wade. Those are three other Hall of Famers on his team, and he went .500.
Yeah.
When you have three other Hall of Famers on your team, you should at least have a winning record in the NBA Finals.
But that's what, 5 years, 3 years, 4 years?
2 out of 4. It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. And by the way, just to be clear, I talked about this last time. LeBron James is on the Mount Rushmore, providing that he wins this series.
He has to win
the
game.
But he's got to win the series because 3-7, I mean, when we look at this guy 10, 15 years from now, we're going to look back and say, wow, this guy was 3-7
in the finals. Yeah, with all his stats, his performance, his dominance.
Yeah, I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had 40,000 points. That's more than LeBron, and at least Kareem had a winning record in the finals. He was 6-4.
Yeah, but he probably had a freaking great staff with him, didn't he?
I mean, he had Pat Riley. He had Magic Johnson.
Okay.
But that's only two other Hall of Famers. LeBron had three other Hall of Famers on the Heat and couldn't even have a winning record in the finals.
They're playing against some pretty good teams, but I'm with you. Okay, so
yeah,
like
so
this,
nobody's here. Let me be clear. Nobody's
here
to trash
LeBron. No.
But when you're talking about nitpicking player for player, I'm always going to put Kobe Bryant ahead of LeBron.
Yeah.
5-2 in the finals. He had a three-peat. Mamba mentality. I'm not saying that he's passed.
No, I'm not.
I was still saying that, you know, 2 years ago.
I would never go Kobe in front of or Kobe behind LeBron by any means. Like Kobe did his thing, and even Jordan said in his documentary, like that kid's special.
Right? Yeah, and he even said that Kobe was the only guy ever that he thinks could have a shot at beating him.
Correct.
One on one, and I tend to agree with Michael Jordan on that. I think if they played 10 games of one-on-one, I think Kobe would win 2 or 3 of those games. But on the other end of it, when you talk about a quote from Magic Johnson, he was asked that question, what would happen if Jordan played against LeBron in 10 one-on-one games? And Magic Johnson straight up said Jordan would win all 10 of those games. And that's because LeBron is a great team player. He's not a one-on-one guy, and his goal is to get his teammates involved. I mean, he has an ungodly amount of assists in his career, and that's honestly one of the reasons why he will be on the Mount Rushmore.
I do have a question for you. So what do you think the trend was with all the finals losses of LeBron's career? Was it something in particular about his efforts in those games, or was it just a fact of what you talked about just now? He tried to do it all on his own, and he lost a little bit of that team aspect. What do you think was the difference in those losses?
To me, it always comes back to just the level of competition that he had in the Eastern Conference. And I could say the same thing about Jordan when he was in the East. The Western Conference was very weak back then because Jordan would end up playing the Sonics or the Suns or the Utah Jazz, but it would always be a different team every year. And those were elite teams. So don't get it twisted. I mean, Jordan had to beat some elite teams in the finals, but those teams that he beat that were out in the West, they didn't have a difficult path to get to the finals in much the same way that LeBron James didn't have a very difficult path to get to the finals. So it's a very similar situation, except that Jordan, being in the Eastern Conference back then, he had a much more difficult road because he was in the elite conference back then.
Yeah, my thought with that, I think it's just supporting staff. So, like, in the Heat, he really didn't have an excuse with the Heat. Golden State, when they came up, they clicked, and they clicked right away. But LeBron with the Heat doesn't have an excuse because, let's be real, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh back then were dominant forces, and they still couldn't pull it out. I think it was a chemistry issue, honestly. They won't admit it, but it's that. But I think on some of his other losses, especially any time with Cleveland, I feel like it was just supporting cast. Like, he took this nobody team all the way to the finals and somehow would play five or six games in the finals with this team that had no business being there. And he'd play pretty much the entire game. So I think it's supporting cast for certain situations. I won't count the Heat because it's unexcusable, really, for that kind of talent.
Yeah, the thing about the Heat is that I do believe that those were the best teams that LeBron has ever played on, even better than this year's Lakers. And I just think that when you look at those losses, I'm not going to count 2010 against him because that was their first year together as the Big Three. And so, yeah, he still lost the series, but, you know, you even look at his wins. I mean, the teams that he beat in the two times that he did win were the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder when they still had James Harden. So those two teams were absolutely loaded. Now, the Spurs did come back and beat him the following year, but honestly, I think those are the two, or those are the best, that is the best supporting cast that LeBron ever had, was the Miami Heat.
So just real quick question here before we move on to our next topic. Where does LeBron finish his career at?
On the Mount Rushmore?
No, what team? What team? What NBA team does LeBron finish his career with?
Oh, he's already made up his mind. I mean, Magic Johnson talked him into that.
Is he going to be the Lakers?
Absolutely. Yeah,
he'll stay with the Lakers for the next 4 years?
Absolutely. Unless AD gets the coronavirus for like 2 years and can't play. As long as AD is there, trust me, LeBron is not going anywhere.
That's fair.
All right, guys. So I'm glad you guys got that out of your systems as far as all the NBA talk we could handle right there. Coming in at around 22 minutes worth of some hard-hitting NBA talk.
We've ever talked NBA.
NBA straight? Yes, absolutely. I mean, we got the finals here, so the season's wrapping up for the moment anyways. But tip-off is now underway here in just 1 minute with that game. So we'll give you guys a little update as we continue our conversation here. But for now, we're going to switch over a little bit to some NFL discussion. And I know you guys love listening to us talk about fantasy football and as far as our opinions on those things, trades, waiver pickups. And first and foremost, let's talk real quick about some of the injuries we noticed. It wasn't as many as week two. That was the biggest thing I thought was great to see for sure.
That was nice to see on that one.
Yeah, the ACLs, there was still a few out there, but it wasn't as bad as before. A couple I want to point out real quick. Chris Godwin's going to be out for a few weeks with a hamstring injury.
Yep.
Tarik Cohen, the running back for the Chicago Bears, has a torn ACL. Dallas Goedert will be out for a few weeks. And Russell Gage, one of my favorite guys this season, has a concussion currently. So he will be out for at least a week or two, I would say, depending on how he does that protocol. So that's a couple guys to watch out for. And awful for me, I got three of those guys on my fantasy team. So I really felt the effects of that. Anything stand out with you in that one?
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I look at the biggest injuries, I got to go with Chris Godwin first. I mean, Tom Brady has been enjoying his favorite toy there in Tampa
his
Bay.
His new Edelman, essentially, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've picked it from the very beginning. I've heard a lot of other people that are picking Tampa Bay to meet the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And that's a tough loss when you take away Chris Godwin. And then, obviously, Tarik Cohen. He's a dynamic playmaker for the Chicago Bears. And obviously you got Nick Foles stepping in right now, and so at least you got a good game manager that's going to be able to hopefully manage the Chicago Bears maybe to a playoff berth. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the Bears right now. We came into this as a group, I think, in our first group podcast, even making fun of the Bears a little bit and a joke out of them. Now they're sitting 3-0. Two of those games, well, let's be honest, 2.5 of those games was with Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, even though he was underperforming heavily and really not doing his part. Somehow the team was finding ways to win. So Nick Foles comes into the game this past week and throws 3 touchdowns off the bench. And it's like, okay, guys, this guy gets a lot of, for some reason, I don't understand the hate he gets, because he just wins. Like, he knows how to win. He just, even with the Chiefs, the guy was a successful player for a couple games. Bounces around, wins games, won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. The guy's been amazing. And we've seen the other quarterbacks either on that same team or after him not be that successful. So I'm proud of the Bears and good for them and happier to see them successful right now, 3-0.
Yeah, so I've already figured out the Bears' secret. Sorry, Nagy. I figured out what you're trying to do here. So we start Trubisky off, right? We go 3-0. Pull him halfway through the game because he sucks. And we bring Nick Foles in. What happened in Philly when they brought Nick Foles in as a backup?
Oh, yeah, they'd always start winning.
They won the Super Bowl.
Right. Guess what? In those games, yeah, you start winning.
That's the Bears' plan all along. They were like, no, we're not going to start you. We're going to pay you. You're going to sit on our bench. But then, and only then, will we bring you in when we need you. Now they're going to go probably 8-0, hit the playoffs.
He's the one.
Surprise somebody.
He's the one quarterback in the league that's the best backup quarterback I've ever seen that comes in and could be better than possibly half of the starters when you bring him into the game.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he's traditionally known as a backup quarterback, but he just wins games. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Nick Foles, when I think about this guy, he reminds me of a guy we talked about earlier, Andre Iguodala. Doesn't really care that much about, you know, what happens in the regular season, but if you throw him into the playoff setting, much the same with Rajon Rondo, or throw him into a Super Bowl, that guy's going to win. And I don't know how he does it, but he's just, he's a journeyman. He's got a lot of experience.
Very humble as well.
Mm-hmm. Very.
So I appreciate that a lot with him. Next thing I want to talk about real quick as far as diving a little bit into the waiver wire pickups, which, as we all know, since we come out on Thursday mornings, most of the time, that has been passed in your league already. But these are the guys that you should have been targeting, or if they're still there, pick them up as a free agent option if they're available. So my guy to kick it off here is a guy you probably never even heard of, tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, Mo Alie-Cox. He's been in the league now for 3 years. He is 27 years old. And his first few games here, started off week one with only 4 points. Week two had 17 points and over 100 yards receiving. And then in week three had 14 points. This is all based on PPR standard. But for some reason, Phillip Rivers and him have a great connection. And so that's a guy you've got to watch, get on your radar. If he's available in your league right now, only owned in 10% of all Yahoo leagues right now. So that means he's probably available, and you should go be picking up that tight end, especially if you had a situation where you had Dallas Goedert like I did. And if you have any other situation where you just need a backup tight end who could possibly – this could be his breakout year in the NFL. And Jack Doyle's still there, obviously, but – Rivers has been throwing to Mo Alie-Cox, so go check him out, see if he's available in your league, and I recommend picking him up if you have room on your roster.
You guys got? Quick note on that, too. Jack Doyle actually got worked out of the rotation because of that connection they had.
Yeah.
He didn't get targeted once. It was all Mo Alie-Cox. So that's something to think about, too. If you do need a tight end, that's a good pick right now.
Yeah, speaking of tight ends, I do have another guy that you may have heard of if you played fantasy football like 7 or 8 years ago. I've got to pick up Jimmy Graham, and part of the reason is, you know, obviously he had a big game, but the other reason is that, you know, they've got Nick Foles under center now and no Tariq Cohen. So Nick Foles has got to throw the ball to somebody, and I don't think it's going to be a one-hit wonder with Jimmy Graham this year. I don't necessarily think he's going to be consistent, but I think that he's a guy that you definitely at least want to have on your bench if you're light at that tight end position.
Yeah, I like that. We both have a little debate there about the best tight end pickup, and Jimmy Graham's a great option. We've seen him in the past, obviously, with the Saints, where we thought he was on a path to be a Hall of Famer. And as time went on with the injuries, et cetera, that's probably not going to be the case. But as of right now, the guy's playing pretty well, and, yeah, Foles' connection could be legitimate with Jimmy Graham for
sure. In the past, too, with Nick Foles, you know, he does like the tight end targets. So when he was with Philly, him and Ertz got pretty good connection and scored a lot. So definitely I like that pick. So my pickup is not a tight end, surprisingly. I am going to go wide out this time. Andy Isabella with the Arizona Cardinals wide out. So he had a huge week three game. He had he actually had four targets, four receptions, 47 yards, but he had two TDs. It's a guy who's widely used in the end zone for targets as well. And you kind of can see that with Christian Kirk being out. And Larry Fitzgerald, he's hasn't really gotten the same targets he does in the past years with Hopkins on the other side. But Isabella is kind of starting to work in that slot format as well. And he is a big red zone. So if you're in a standard league as well, that could be a big hit for you.
Yeah, gosh, I love Hopkins in Arizona right now. He's loving it himself too. He's on pace right now to potentially break that catch record. So I know it's a long season ahead, but he's looking great.
Kyler Murray's loving him too.
Exactly. They got a lot of weapons there for Kyler Murray. So Murray in fantasy leagues is also ranked, should be around in your top five quarterbacks right at the moment. So going forward a little bit here, we have, you know, every week we have something that surprises us just a little bit at least in the NFL. And for me, it is currently the Bears at 3-0. That's a big surprise. And as much crap as we gave them, sorry, guys. We were a little wrong for the moment. I don't necessarily trust that they're going to be a playoff team, but I think they have a legitimate shot to go 9-7, 10-6, and get in there somehow. But I got to say, a surprise for the week when it comes to NFL and fantasy as well is the rookie over in Minnesota, Justin Jefferson's my guy. Wide receiver, had 7 catches for 175 yards and 1 touchdown. He's now replaced the Stephon Diggs role in that offense. And to see a rookie come out in week 3 and put up big numbers like that is pretty rare. You don't see that too often. We saw rookies like Anquan Boldin back in the day put up big numbers easily, but you don't necessarily see a guy like just Justin Jefferson come out, and especially with Thielen there as well in the roster, wide receiver, and put up numbers like that. So good to see him succeeding so far in that role. So Diggs is doing his own thing in Buffalo, as we know, and successful so far over there as well. So what do you guys think about your surprise of the week?
Well, real quick here, I want to touch back on Justin Jefferson. How huge is it for Thielen's game right now? Have another weapon on the other side of the field. Now he can free up and maybe not get double covered all the time.
If you remember, there was games in the past where Diggs was out with an injury and Thielen was not as successful without having Diggs there on the other side of the field. So Thielen probably does need that other weapon to help create some more separation and keep the safeties off of him.
Now the Lions just got a block, and maybe Cousins will get Thielen the ball again. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so my surprise is going to surprise you guys because I've got Jared Goff. And the reason I bring him up is not because he's like a sexy pick or anything like that, but I know a lot of people had him on your fantasy teams last year, and he was a huge letdown. I know that firsthand. And the reason why he's surprising me this year is that he's thrown 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but most importantly, he hasn't fumbled the ball. And so he's been very productive in fantasy, and we knew that he was going to see some positive regression compared to last year, and we knew that Sean McVay was going to try to put him into some better situations. Now, I don't know if he can keep this up, but Jared Goff has been my biggest surprise of the year so far.
Yeah, we'll see how that progresses over time. He had a down year last year after coming off of a Super Bowl the year before, so I think Goff's getting back on track a little bit, and so that's good for him. I think he's a good player, just about getting the fundamentals down a little bit and just a little bit better strategy, I think. Because we all agree that McVay's a great coach and that he knows what he's got. He's a great mind and creative mind that he can get Goff to where he's successful in the league. So, and as far as going forward throughout this week coming up, we have some games to kick off. We have the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets.
Do you want to hear my surprise?
I thought that was your surprise, Tanner.
What?
Was Van Jefferson.
No, I got two, man. I wrote down two.
Okay.
So you took one of mine, right?
That's why. You sent it over to Jason there, and I was like, oh, I guess we had the same surprise.
Well, actually,
we keep it a surprise for each other.
So originally,
guys, don't worry.
So Justin Jefferson was one of mine because I was really impressed by that game.
Okay. Multiple surprises.
All right. Alan Lazard, wide receiver for the Packers. Yeah, Davante Adams was out last week, so he had a chance to step up, and he had some great catches on some great throws by Rodgers. He had 8 targets for 6 receptions, 146 yards. And 1 TD, he caught multiple 30-yard passes from Rodgers as well, deep on the backfield there. So look at him to actually continue to be a weapon for Rodgers. Because once Aaron finds somebody he trusts and the guy produces, you you kind of see that for a few weeks of some progress on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's get to the boring stuff now real quick as far as the Broncos and Jets. So that's a game that's going to be on TV. I don't know how excited we all are for it. As we know, Drew Lock's out with an injury for a few more weeks. And I did hear one thing, though, that's interesting to me. Adam Gase could be fired if they do not win this game against the Denver Broncos. That is what's currently being reported, and there's a high probability of that being a fact, that if they do not win this game, Adam Gase, the head coach, will be fired from the Jets. So with that being said, guys, who do you have winning this game? Anything to input there?
Well, first of all, with Adam Gase, I mean, if you're going to fire him now, what's the point? I mean, you might as well just keep him in there, because if you really think that he's that terrible of a coach, he's just going to keep on losing games, and you'll get a higher draft pick. But for that fact, if you guys, anybody of you, any guys that are trying to put money down out there, do not bet this game. I do have Denver winning. It is -2.5 Denver. I think MG3 and Jerry Jeudy are going to make enough big plays to win the game.
Yeah, I got the Broncos winning. Even though they're going on the third starting quarterback of the year, I'm just thinking the Broncos will win.
Yeah, I kind of do as well. I think the Denver can get a little bit of running game going. We know Lindsey's out, but I think that Melvin Gordon will do just enough to get them a victory over there against the New York Jets. And after that, kicking off on Sunday, we have the Indianapolis Colts against the Chicago Bears in Chicago, if that matters to you guys, considering the lack of fans in attendance. Me personally, I definitely think that the Colts are going to win this game. I'm a fan of the Colts. The Bears are going to give them a fight. Foles is going to give them a fight. But this might be a good game, actually, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just say that I like the fact that Indy's got the number one defense in the league. I think Nick Foles is still going to have a decent year. And he's going to have a lot more wins. They may even make the playoffs, but I'm going to take Indy in this game.
Yeah, I'm going against you guys. So I think Nick Foles, the way he looked coming out last week for the come behind win, I see Nick Foles winning, pulling this off against the Colts.
So Tanner's overreacting based on Nick
Foles. I'm overreacting. Guess what? I'm taking it, though. So
Tanner, Nick Foles is a great backup. Is he a great starter? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he did take the Eagles somewhere, so I'd say I'm going to go Bears over Colts.
All right, after that, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars going to Cincinnati against the Bengals, and I'm a big fan of what Jacksonville did this previous week with that running back, James Robinson. He looks phenomenal for an undrafted rookie, and they're looking for success for the Bengals as well. I mean, hoping that they can eventually get that thing turned around. My surprise of the week, or I should say hot take of the week, was I predicted that A.J. Green would be successful. He ended up not having a great week. I think he finished off with 7 points. And I think he's going to eventually get it turned around. But I think for right now, they're looking at T. Higgins at wide receiver, and they're really enjoying what he has to offer as a red zone threat, especially with the body size. So I'm going to personally go with the Jaguars on this one. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals, actually. I think I like what I see from Joe Burrow in the first three games, and I think he's finally going to get his first win as a professional.
I agree with Jason. I'm going Bengals. I think Joe Burrow actually looked really good last Thursday, and he's kind of starting to develop in his own, so I am going Bengals.
And after that, we had a game of three great running backs, as a matter of fact. The Cleveland Browns going against the Dallas Cowboys. Cleveland with a great running game, coming in with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And on Dallas's end over there with Ezekiel Elliott. And I think I'm going to have to go with Dallas on this one. I just think that the Browns still have some work to do, and Dallas needs to get a win here.
Yeah, for me, I've got to go with Cleveland just because I love the running game. And I think they're going to try to eat that clock. Dallas is favored by 4.5. I'm going to take the points, and I'm going to take Cleveland to win the game as well.
So I am going to go Cowboys over Browns. So the only way Browns win is if Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb rush for 100 yards each and eat up that clock. But you got to think about it, too. The Cowboys, they can't let Dak do all the work, right? Dak had like 475 yards the last couple games as well, and they still lose because they can't stop anybody.
So what do you guys think of it? Is that a coaching issue with Dallas?
Yeah, there is a it's been that way for a long time with Dallas. There's like a structure and coaching issue.
Well, it sounds like Mike McCarthy thinks he has Aaron Rodgers in the backfield.
Right, but that's not the way that Dak Prescott, I should say, is wired. And I know he had almost 5,000 passing yards last year.
Yeah.
But he's not really that kind of quarterback, in my opinion. He's a guy, you want to be having more closer to the 4,000-yard passing range, but getting Elliott the workload and running them down on the ground. And I don't think I got great receivers out there. I love the Cowboys receivers, but I just think the structure of the team and the way they're designed is not working out for them at the moment.
I think Elliott last game, maybe the last game of the game before, but he only had 9 rushing attempts. So if you do that, you don't win without a kind of running game like that.
You're not going to win doing games like that. I know back in the day when we had Jamal Charles, when we had low rushing attempts for Jamal, we would lose. And you just got to stick to the script sometimes. You got to work with what got you there. Do the successful thing, you know. You got to run the ball at some point. After that, we got the New Orleans Saints at Detroit Lions. So as far as that one goes, I'm a big fan of the Saints in general. And I got to go with the Saints on that one. I know Detroit's looking better. They're going to eventually get there. Adrian Peterson's now their full-time running back, according to themselves. But I'm still going to go with the Saints. I think Drew Brees really turned the corner a little bit as far as his playing ability, at least throwing downfield a little bit more than before. So he's going to challenge himself going forward, I think.
Lion lover, Jason?
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to go with the Lions on this one. I'm a big believer that Brees is falling off the cliff. And he's probably going to fall a whole lot faster than Tom Brady.
I'm going Saints over Lions. I think Drew Brees actually looked pretty good against the Packers on Sunday night. But he kept them in the game and kept them going. Michael Thomas, I think, is back in a couple weeks. Still, we're looking at.
He's still out for a couple more weeks.
I still like the Saints in this. Drew Brees didn't have a better connection with his receivers this last game, so I'm going Saints.
Let's go quick here, unless you have an upset. We have Seattle at Miami.
Well, this is an interesting game if you're wanting to put some money down. Seattle favored by 6.5. I do believe they are going to cover the spread on this because Russell Wilson is playing at an MVP level, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Nah, Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks, and with the points, I like that as well. We got the Los Angeles Chargers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers against Tom Brady.
Yeah, I like that top 5 defense so far of Tampa Bay, so I'm going to go with the Bucs.
Bucs.
Yep, Bucs as well for me. And then what do you guys think about Baltimore potentially getting angry and then coming at Washington, the football team? Do you think they're going to come over there and roll them? Because right now it looks like the point spread is a pretty crazy 13 in favor of Baltimore. So do you think they cover that? Is there a possibility of that?
Absolutely not going to cover that spread. Washington is going to show up to play. Baltimore is on a short week. They just got annihilated by the Chiefs. They're absolutely not going to cover that spread. But I will take Baltimore to win by about 10 points.
Right. I want to know the Ravens here. How pissed off are they going to be with Washington right now? Like, this is going to be bad. Baltimore is going to run over these guys. It might be a 50-point game for the Ravens after the way they got blasted by the Chiefs.
But they just got demoralized. I mean, they are soul-searching right now. You know, the Washington football team, they always show up to play. They don't care who it is.
I want to know if Chase Young's going to play next week because I hadn't heard anything on his injury this upcoming week. So if he plays, I think Washington has a chance to keep the game close. I just don't see Haskins making it out of this game, though.
Yeah. Making it out of the game? You saying that there's going to be a possibility for
– Are you picking Washington?
Picking Ravens. I'm just saying Haskins might be benched or possibly worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens fans are probably a little concerned about what happened over on Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs because, let's be honest, they came in with a lot of confidence. For some reason, they thought that, we can just go in we're going to be playing the Chiefs at home and we'll just go in there and run the ball over them. It's going to be super easy. And, well, it turns out, Mahomes is now 3-0 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a minute. But after that, we got the Arizona Cardinals at Carolina. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals for sure. What do you guys got?
I've got the upset here. I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers. Kyler Murray's been throwing a lot of picks lately, so that's a little disturbing. Arizona's favored by 4. I'm just going to go Carolina Panthers to win the game.
This is actually my upset game of the week. I'm going Carolina.
Good. I'm glad I stole your thunder there.
I like the way Teddy's looking right now. I like the way they're starting to really come as a team. So I am going Carolina.
A little surprising there. Very interesting, though. One really good game, I think, coming up, despite the records show, is going to be the Minnesota Vikings going to Houston against the Texans. And I'm hoping the Texans can get a win. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and take them to get the win on this one. Tanner, what do you think about this one? Will Watson get a win here finally?
Yes. Look, the Vikings don't have many more chances before their bye week to get a win. They got this game and the Falcons, right? And Falcons in 2 weeks. If they don't win one of these games, they're going to be 0-for because they got Seattle, and then they come back after the bye week to the Packers. So the Vikings have to do this, but I don't think they will. I'm going Texans.
Yeah, this is an absolute trash game. If you guys have money sitting out there, please do not bet on this game. I am going to take the Vikings in an upset just because I don't really have a reason, but a lot of times when you got two teams in the tank, I just tend to pick the underdog.
So Houston at -3.5, then that gives me – I kind of want to go Minnesota there as a matter of
fact. Just go Minnesota.
All right. After that, we got the New York Giants going to the Los Angeles Rams, and I think this is an easy one for me. The Giants are just so torn up right now, and it's disappointing to see them fall apart so quickly. You guys might have to take an upset here, but I don't. I think their offensive line is absolutely garbage, and so I think the Los Angeles Rams go in there and roll them real good.
Yeah, this is a great betting opportunity as well. It's -13 Rams. I believe they will cover that because the Giants are only averaging 12.7 points per game, and that's not going to get it done against the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going Rams over the Little Giants.
The Little Giants now, huh?
That's a great movie, right?
I love that movie, as a matter of fact. Especially Icebox.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, she was such a tomboy. She was kind of cute. So I got to go. After that, we got the New England Patriots going to Kansas City against the 3-0 Chiefs. Patriots have looked pretty good. But I don't know. I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup facing New England again without Tom Brady. And they're going to basically be running the old Carolina Panthers offense is what they've been doing. And it works really well with the running game. I picked against the Chiefs last week. I know. Go ahead and kill me, you guys.
Get him.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs here to win against the Patriots for sure. We'll talk about that more here in a minute. But I don't know. Is there a way Patriots can come back and get a victory over the Chiefs?
There's no way they can win. I am going to take the points in this game because it's Bill Belichick, and he always finds a way to keep the games close. Kansas City is -7. In this game, I do believe the Chiefs are going to pull off the victory, but I think it's going to be a close game.
I'm going Chiefs, but watch for Belichick. And also, Cam Newton will have to pass more than 97 yards to have a chance to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, definitely. And another really good one after that, we have the Buffalo Bills going to Las Vegas against the Raiders. That'll be a fun game, and I love the way Josh Allen's played. Definitely going the Bills on this one just because I'm enjoying the way that their team is structured. Really good running game. Devin Singletary is doing a good job over there. Passing game is great. Josh Allen running the ball has been phenomenal. He had 5 touchdowns on his own this past weekend. So I'm loving Josh Allen right now, and I got to go with the Bills.
Yeah, so this is going to be my upset of the week for any of you guys who want to throw some money around. You got to go with the Raiders in this one because they look great this year. And you know, we got a little bit of a human element in there. I think the Bills should be getting a little bit cocky right now since they're 3-0. And I think the Raiders are going to win the game.
That's a very interesting pick there.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo is -2.5.
All right, that's fair. So I'm going Bills over Raiders. It's actually my game of the week for this one. What I loved about Josh Allen when I was watching him last week is when he was outside of the pocket or being rushed, this year, he actually tries to set his hips, gets his body forward enough to make those accurate passes. He's really improved on his technique and everything on making those hard passes this year. So look at Josh Allen to continue success against some good teams, but I am looking at the Bills over the Raiders this year.
All right, we got 3 more games to talk about real quickly. Sunday night game of the week is the Philadelphia Eagles going to San Francisco. Is that going to even be watchable? I mean, what do you guys think? Because it could even be fun to sit there and watch that.
I mean, the Eagles have the worst turnover ratio in the league. And so, I mean, the Niners are going to win. It just depends on if you think they're going to win by 6 or not.
The beat-up 49ers is going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles because Wentz can't keep turning the ball over. So that's become an issue over there for sure.
Yeah, I got 49ers as well. I just – until they can figure their stuff out in Philly, it's 49ers.
Yeah, I kind of want to agree with you guys. Nick Mullins actually looks decent. So despite all their injuries, I think that they're going to be just fine over there in San Fran and, you know, potentially still a playoff team. I think they could still go win 8 games possibly. And then we got two more here. One I want to hit on just for a minute. It looks like it's going to be postponed for the moment. They could either be playing on Monday night or Tuesday. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Tennessee Titans. Now, we know that they had multiple players test positive and coaching staff for COVID-19. And so this game in particular, they're being very cautious with it. They did push it back, but that doesn't mean that they will definitely play. So there's a chance this game could be canceled or postponed altogether, and we end up going down the list, down the road, I should say, and basing their winning record off of win percentage at the end of the season, potentially, which will be a very interesting dynamic because both these teams are in the playoff contention. So
yeah,
what do you guys think?
So I actually like the Steelers in this one, even though, you know, even if they don't play or whatever, I just don't – the way Steelers are playing right now, Juju's connected, Ben Roethlisberger connected. The running game's actually looking pretty decent. Their defense actually looks decent. So look at the Steelers to really kind of take over that lead, go back to undefeated going through 4 weeks.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh as well. And I think I would have picked Tennessee had they not had the outbreak of COVID-19. But I think that's going to disrupt them a little bit. I'm going with the Steelers.
Yeah, I would like to go with Tennessee here personally. I still love Derrick Henry, love the way he runs. But I think the Steelers have a lot of talent on defense as well. So as much as I want to go with Tennessee here, I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. And I've picked a lot of away teams today, you guys. So I'm going very much against the away team, which I've said in the past doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore right now.
Exactly. And in my opinion, it doesn't matter at all. Like, I'll be honest, I don't think the Chiefs would have dominated quite that easily in Baltimore if they had fans there. I think there would have been a bigger impact against the offense.
Aaron Rodgers, when he had asked about it with the Saints, being at the Saints, he goes, it's just not the same. No. It would have been a totally different game, most likely, if there was fans there. So
yeah, it's all, the main thing you have to worry about is travel. Travel time and adjustment to that time zone, those are really the only aspects you have to worry about. Otherwise, no, you're just going to play football, which is pretty cool, actually. In some ways, I can give some credit and say, look, we're watching equal playing field all season long, where we don't have to worry too much about, like, oh, well, this team's playing an away game in Baltimore, in Seattle, in Kansas City, where you know your odds of winning are very, very low. It's like, no, it's pretty even across the board. We're just going out and playing football at this point. So Monday night, to wrap up, we have Atlanta Falcons going to Green Bay in this game. This could be a really fun game, as a matter of fact. I know the Falcons are a disaster. I'm so disappointed in them, but I'm disappointed in them every year. Every year they do the same thing every year. They're just – the coach needs to be fired. There's a lot of structure within that team that needs to be fixed, and they have so much talent. Calvin Ridley's leading fantasy football in points right now. Like, Calvin Ridley's blowing up. Matt Ryan is still inconsistent, where he has some great plays, some plays where it's like, do you like getting punished? Do you like getting beat up? Do you like taking sacks? Obviously you do, because you do them for no reason at all at times. So it's just inconsistency at all with that team and running game. Gurley still can't quite get consistent enough, and that's a problem I have with Gurley right now. So I don't know. I'm going to pick the Packers for sure, though. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I've got the Packers. I mean, you know what I think about streaks, guys. So we got to ride the streak, and the home team has won the last six games in this series. So we got to ride that streak. Green Bay all the way.
So we're talking about streaks here, right? So we're going to go Falcons up 38-0 at halftime, right? Then Aaron Rodgers will come back and beat them 50-38, right? Is this what we're talking about streaks-wise?
Whatever you want.
Why are the Falcons so bad at keeping a lead and winning? I don't get it. So I am going
Packers. That's a curse. I believe it's a curse.
I'm going Packers because there's only two NFC teams that will win every week or has a better chance. It's going to be Seattle and the Packers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. It'll be worth watching, at least. I'll give them that for sure. It'll be better game than the Eagles and 49ers on Sunday night. So you guys have any thoughts at all about the Chiefs game that we saw on Monday night? I know we haven't talked about it yet much. Jason did hit on it in his podcast from a couple nights ago. So I thought it was great to get out there, discuss it a little bit about his thoughts. But Tanner, I know you and I have not said anything about it yet on our podcast. Do you have any input or any thoughts at all in general about the game?
About the game? How about our freaking D-line keeping up with Lamar Jackson outside the pocket? I saw multiple times Chris Jones, Passanio, Taco Charlton.
Mike Dana, the rookie.
Mike Dana, Frank Clark, all those guys, right? Mm-hmm. They were out of the pocket chasing down Lamar Jackson, not letting him cut up field as much. I think he cut up field, maybe four times, getting decent yardage.
Yeah.
Other than that, like he couldn't get the yardage he usually gets with other teams. So props to our D-line on keeping up with some speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when I look at the final score, 34-20, I mean, you know, we had a missed extra point, a missed field goal, and
we got a lot of kick return as well for a touchdown.
Yeah, and then a kick return for a touchdown. And so when I look at this game, dude, this was never close.
No.
And so, yeah, this is just the Chiefs are head and shoulders above everybody else. I do think Baltimore will be in the end, but I can see a scenario like last year where we don't even see these two teams in the playoffs because Baltimore is going to lose again in that very first playoff game.
So, right, talking about special teams here, right? First half alone, Butker misses an extra point, misses a field goal at the end of half. We give up that returned TD after that missed extra point. And then he almost misses a second extra point right before half, too. Like, after the Chargers game, we go into that? Obviously, there's no concern, right?
Well, I think with the Chargers, I think that was a good test for us. And I think that made us kind of be on our A game. But I don't think anyone was expecting a game like that. Everybody thought it was going to be close.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, as you guys know, my prediction at the end, I know – during the podcast, I said 31-21 Baltimore Ravens over Chiefs, but I changed it up to 30-28, so it was a little bit closer in my opinion. But no, when the game started and we started off that way, the offense was just rolling. You could tell they had some great game plans working for their end. Andy Reid did a great job, so I'm very proud of the way the Chiefs performed as far as every aspect of the game. It was a very fun game to watch. I wasn't nearly as stressed out as I was during that Chargers game. So
now it helped, too, that the Chiefs looked like the better team right off the bat. Just the way they marched downfield, the way they played defense. Like, they just looked like the better team right off the bat, unlike the Chargers game where we were like, what the hell's happening right now, right? So, quick notes. We did lose LeJarius Sneed. He broke his collarbone.
It's normally a six-week injury, I believe. Yeah. So he'll be out for a little bit.
He'll be out for a bit, but he was having a pretty good start to his year, to his NFL career. But how about Eric Fisher getting a touchdown? Any comments on that, guys?
Well, I just want to know what your favorite play was of the game, because I personally love the jump fake pass by Mahomes, and then he threw it the other direction. That was my favorite play of the whole game.
Yeah, that was a great one. I liked the Fisher play, but I liked it a lot because of the way that they used misdirection a lot in that one. The way that they had the alignment set up, they had actually had Allegretti, our sixth offensive lineman, lined up on the right side, and Fisher on the left side was reported as eligible. So he ended up tossing it back over to Fisher when everyone was going to the right, and he actually set up to block play.
I like that part.
It stood out to me a lot because he didn't just run out for a route. No, he blocked almost like a tight end you see at times where the tight end blocks and then releases. Eric Fisher did the exact same thing. And so the defender who was on Eric Fisher just kind of stood back there okay, well, he's just blocking it. They just called that out to basically – get us thinking about the throwback to the left. But no, he ended up breaking free and was wide open over there.
Yeah, so my favorite play on offense was the Anthony Sherman TD with his pitch. Usually that's a Kelce one, right? And that's a perfect fake right there. Nobody expects Sherman to get that.
Yeah, even the announcer didn't expect it. No. The announcer was like, what the hell just happened?
I loved it. I was like, yes.
The play design was amazing with Tyreek in the backfield. I loved it. Because everyone was flowing to the right to Tyreek because they're worried about what he's doing out there with that speed. And then everyone just left Sherman wide open right there, and it's like, oh, we don't have to worry about Sherman. Tyreek's in the back there. Now just dump it down to Sherman.
And then my favorite part on defense outside of the D-line was our secondary coming up and stopping the wide receivers from getting those first downs with some big hits. Baltimore get the ball within 2 yards and smack on the ground or ankle tackling. Secondary actually played really well this last game.
Yeah, I was happy with the whole thing in general. It's coming up in week 4. Do you guys have anything input for Asgard going forward with the Chiefs and Patriots? What are the key aspects we have to watch for? Who is going to stand out? I mean, Rashad Breeland's not back yet. We have one more week of him on suspension, but Mike Pinnell is, and that's going to be big against that run game. So this game in particular, I think the Chiefs are definitely going to win. I said that here a few minutes ago, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be close. I think we'll win by about a touchdown or more. I think we're going to give Cam Newton a little bit of fits. But what do you guys, any input on this game at all?
Yeah, I can't bet the Chiefs to cover that spread. I think the Pats are going to run heavy with Cam Newton and the running backs. And obviously the goal every week is you want to keep Mahomes off the field. Because you can't stop him, you can only hope to contain him. So Belichick is just going to try to keep him off the field. And just defensively, try to take either Tyreek or Kelce out of the picture. I do think the Chiefs are going to win. I do not see them covering the 7 points. I think it's going to be more like a 4 or 5 point game in favor of the Chiefs.
Yeah, so big key aspect outside of making Cam Newton pass the ball. You got to make Cam Newton pass the ball. You can't let him run like Lamar. Sony Michel, he hasn't been quite making the numbers, but he's made some effective runs for the Patriots the last few weeks. Like, he's a patient runner, kind of like Le'Veon was back in the day, where he's patient. He doesn't have the great break speed, but when he gets his hole, he's not afraid to take the hole versus going outwards. So you got to contain the run game, a.k.a. Sony Michel. And then as far as offense, you just got to keep pushing the ball downfield. You know, this is the Patriots' defense is another, you know, test for us like it always is. But I say you keep Mahomes off the ground, first off. And you execute like you did last week, you'll be fine on offense. But the defense really has a big play on with Cam Newton and the running game going on.
Yeah, I loved seeing a little old 2018 Patrick Mahomes this past week. That was the best thing. Most fun thing for me anyway during the game was seeing him throw it downfield so much and just creative. And some of the throws on the run were just amazing as well. So it got me flashbacks to a couple years ago. And you could tell he's fully healthy, engaged, having a kid soon as well. So congratulations to him on that. So. We have another Mahomes on the way in the future. Let's, you know, for the sake of us, let's hope it's a boy. Let's get another one up there. By the time Mahomes is ready to retire, we could throw the kid in there. One thing I do want to mention real quick, live right now for the NBA Finals game, in game one, we're in the second quarter. It is Miami Heat 34, Lakers 37 at the moment. So this has been an interesting game because I did see the Heat get up big early, and the Lakers have come back, which was expected as well. So. Any early thoughts on that game real quick, you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't shocked when Miami came out to that big lead in the beginning. But right now you're sitting on 11 points from Anthony Davis. LeBron James doing what he does, distributing the ball. He's got 4 assists. And somehow, some way, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has 10 points.
Yeah, it doesn't sound surprising to me right now. It's going to be back and forth, I think, the entire game. So just it's going to be... like you said, a fun series to watch.
Yeah, I just think Miami Heat, you know, if I'm a Miami Heat fan, you got to win this game. You got to punch them in the mouth early and often. You have to take game one or this thing's going to be over.
Yeah, I agree. I could see the Lakers pulling away personally, but we'll find out very soon. You guys will know in the morning. So I do have one more thing I want to talk about real quick. I don't know if you guys thought about this at all, but as far as for fantasy purposes in your fantasy league for football, I did have one guy, and we're coming up on trade season. I have one guy that I think you should definitely be buying low on. I mean, say buying low because he's going to be available, and the owner of this player potentially could be seeing him as tradable because of the quarterback situation going on. But I think you should buy low on Jerry Jeudy. Personally, he's a guy that I think you should buy low on. He has 24 targets so far this season, and he is, in my opinion, their number one threat by far. With Cortland Sutton being out for the season, Noah Fant is going to be involved in the offense because he has to be. He's actually number 3 tight end in your league right now in PPR. So Noah Fant is going to be productive no matter what. But Jerry Jeudy, coming from Alabama, a lot of talent. He's had 13 catches, 173 yards, and no touchdowns yet. So I think you can see those touchdowns eventually switch over time. And I think you'll eventually get, you know, 5 to 7 touchdowns this season from Jeudy. You could keep him on your team as a WR4, WR3 with upside to potentially have breakout games every once in a while and to fill in for bye weeks as time goes on. So I think this is a great time for you to go up to that owner that owns Jerry Jeudy in your leagues and potentially make a good offer because that owner might be looking at Jerry Jeudy now and going, well, yeah, I know he's one of their main options, but the quarterback situation and the team's bad, and he's not really been that productive statistically yet with only a total of 30 points on the season. So... any input on that, you guys? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. A lot of times when people look at these rookie wide receivers, we don't expect too much production in that very first year when they're rookies. We expect the production to come in the second or third season, but Jeudy has the raw talent that he could absolutely produce some great fantasy stats in his rookie season.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody else to look at to buy low on, Emmanuel Sanders with the wide receiver for the Saints. With Michael Thomas coming back, that's going to free up Sanders to get a lot more targets, I believe that. So last Sunday was the first time, really, that Breeze and Sanders really started to connect in there. but it, I just don't think it's enough where you can sell, or you can sell high on him yet. I think if you buy low, you can get low right about now. But if you wait too much longer, it's going to be a pretty pricey trade.
Yeah, and I was looking over the list a little bit, and I really didn't see anybody that stood out to me as someone you should be selling necessarily. So I think the players that are being productive right now on your teams were hopefully expected, and you want to hold on to them for the moment. I mean, Calvin Ridley right now is the number one receiver in all fantasy leagues. But then again, I don't really want to get rid of him. Julio's constantly on the injury report, and Ridley has had four touchdowns now, and he's getting targeted, leads the league in receiving yards at the moment. So I don't really want to lose that yet. I don't think he's going to totally all of a sudden drop off, especially with Russell Gage being out possibly this week and with a concussion. So I don't know. It's tough right now at this point to want to sell anyone, but I think you can walk up to that Judy owner and potentially sway him away from, you know, his, what he has there sitting on his bench most likely. So any final thoughts, you guys?
Well, I just want to point out that the Miami Heat have regained the lead. It's 43-41. You know, these NBA games last forever. But like I said, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, Miami has to win this game, right? This is a must-win game for Miami, or
yeah,
it's over.
If they have any chance, they have to start off hot. They have to start off with a game one win to make the series even close and competitive.
Yeah, I'm liking this game so far. I'm like, well, that's at least close. It's not a blowout or anything like that. So we'll see what ends up happening. It has been fun with talking with you guys and watching the game. Any final thoughts as far as, like, follow us on Twitter, obviously, Sports Buffoons.
Right, so I do want to say congratulations, Minnesota Twins. You guys broke the record for losses in the playoffs. So way to go, guys. You continue to disappoint your city in the AL Central.
Is this all-time losses in the playoffs?
Yep, Pistons, interesting. Including NBA, NHL. They broke it yesterday, and they added on top today.
That's an interesting
for the
statistic
loss to the
right
Astros.
There.
So, yeah, congrats, Twins. And all you Twins fans.
You're going to sound really salty right now. Do you want to miss Minnesota listening to that?
Oh, I've already said to all my Minnesota people.
That's
so.
Right. You do know a lot of people.
I do know a lot of people in Minnesota, so I had fun with that.
Now, since we're congratulating people, I just want to pre-congratulate LeBron James for breaking the record of Magic Johnson's 30 triple-doubles in the playoffs all time. He's got 27 right now. He might get 28 tonight. And he's going to get it done. You guys can take it to the bank. And so,
if he goes seven games, he's going to get it done.
Congratulations to LeBron James.
Yeah. I guess if I have to give one, too, I'll go with Patrick Mahomes getting the fastest 10,000-yard passing mark of all time.
Beat
doing
Kurt
it in
Warner.
34 games. Beat Kurt Warner on that one. So he sets records every time he steps on the field. So Patrick Mahomes, congratulations to you on that, as well as the conception of your child. So we'll see in about 7 months or so after the Super Bowl, hopefully another victory, and see what we have on our hands there.
All right. So, guys, give us a follow, twitter.com/sportsbuffoons. Give us a follow on YouTube. Subscribe, youtube.com/sportsbuffoons. And you can always catch us here. We'll try this every Wednesday around between 7 and 7:30, so Central Time. So catch us on here, guys, for that.
Yeah, it's been awesome being live with you guys for the first time ever, so very interesting getting to experience that for a little bit.
Sorry for being a little late, too.
Oh, gosh, apologizing already. All right.
Hey, it's for the people, man.
All right, you guys, we will be back again next week. I know I have something coming up on a solo coming up this week, so I'll be back on with you guys. Not live, but it'll be another Spotify type of deal, so I'm sure you guys have something planned as well, Tanner.
Yeah.
So going forward, I appreciate you guys so much. And I will see you all on the next one.
Deuce!
We are out!